It stands to reason. Oh, don't look so downcast, he said, mistaking, possibly innocently, Ponder's expression of futile rage for shameful dismay. If you get stuck with any of this complicated stuff, my door's always open. I am your Arch-Chancellor, after all. There's a certain type of manager who is known by his call of, my door is always open, and it is probably a good idea to beat yourself to death with your own CV rather than work for him. In Ridcully's case, however, he meant, my door is always open because then, when I'm bored, I can fire my crossbow right across the hall and into the target just above the bursar's desk.
Excuse me, can we tread on ants or not?
Said the senior wrangler peevishly.
If you like, Ridcully swelled with generosity, because in fact history already depends on your treading on any ants that you happen to step on. Any ants you tread on, you've already trodden on. So if you do it again, it'll be for the first time, because you're doing it now, because you did it then, which is also now.
Really?
Yes, indeed. So we should have worn bigger boots, said the bursar.
Try to keep up, bursar.
Ridcully stretched and yawned.
Well, that seems to be it, he said. Let's try to get back to sleep, shall we? It's been a rather long day.
Someone was keeping up. After the wizards got back to sleep, a faint light, like burning marsh gas, circled over them. He was an omnipresent god, although only in a small area. And he was omnicognizant, but just enough to know that while he did indeed know everything, it wasn't the whole everything, just the part of it, that applied to his island. Damn! He'd told himself the cigarette tree would cause trouble. He should have stopped it the moment it started growing. He'd never meant it to get out of hand like this. Of course, it had been a shame about the other pointy creature, but it hadn't been his fault, had it? Everything had to eat. Some of the things that were turning up on the island were surprising even him, and some of them never stayed stable for 5 minutes together. Even so, he allowed himself a little smirk of pride. 2 hours between the one called the Dean dying for a smoke and the bush evolving, growing and fruiting its first nicotine-laden crop, that was evolution in action. Trouble was, now they'd start poking around and asking questions. The god, almost alone among gods, thought questions were a good thing. He was, in fact, committed to people questioning assumptions, throwing aside old superstitions, breaking the shackles of irrational prejudice, and in short, exercising the brains their god had given them. Except, of course, they hadn't been given them by any god, Lord knows. So what they really ought to do was exercise those brains developed over millennia in response to the external stimuli and the need to control those hands with their opposable thumbs. Another damn good idea that he was very proud of. Or would have been, of course, if he existed. However, there were limits. Freethinkers were fine people, but they shouldn't go around thinking just anything. The light vanished and reappeared, still circling, in the sacred cave on the mountain. Technically, he knew, it wasn't in fact sacred, since you needed believers to make a place sacred, and this god didn't actually want believers. Usually, a god with no believers was as powerful as a feather in a hurricane, but for some reason he'd not been able to fathom, he was able to function quite happily without them. It may have been because he believed so fervently in himself. Well, obviously not in himself, because belief in gods was irrational, but he did believe in what he did. He considered rather guiltily making a few more thunder lizards in the hope that they might eat the intruders before they got too nosy, but then dismissed the thought as being unworthy of a modern, forward-thinking deity. There were racks and racks of seeds in this part of the cave. He selected one from among the pumpkin family and picked up his tools. These were unique. Absolutely no one else in the world had a screwdriver that small. A green shoot speared up from the forest litter in response to the first light of dawn, unfolded into 2 leaves, and went on growing. Down among the rich compost of fallen leaves, white shoots writhed like worms. This was no time for half measures. Somewhere far down, a questing taproot found water. After a few minutes, the bushes around the by now large and moving plant began to wilt.